Psalm 35, verses 1 through 28. Psalm 35, verse 1 through 28. This is the reading of God's Word. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of buckler and shield and rise up for my help. Draw also the spear and the battle axe to meet those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let those be ashamed and dishonored who seek my life. Let those be turned back and humiliated who devise evil against me. Let them be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them on. Let their way be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. For without cause they hid their net for me. Without cause they dug a pit for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unaware, and let the net which he hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall rejoice in the Lord. It shall exult in his salvation. All my bones will say, Lord, who is like you, who delivers the afflicted from him who is too strong for him? And the afflicted and the needy from him who robs him. Malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I do not know. They repay me evil for good, to the bereavement of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul and fasting, and my prayer kept returning to my bosom. I went about as though it were my friend or brother. I bowed down mourning as one who sorrowed for a mother. But at my stumbling they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. The smiter who I did not know gathered together against me. They slandered me without ceasing. Like godless jesters at a feast, they gnashed at me with their teeth. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue my soul from their ravages, my only life from the lions. I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among a mighty throng. Do not let those who are wrongfully my enemies rejoice over me, nor let those who hate me without cause wink maliciously. For they do not speak peace, but they devise deceitful words against those who are quiet in the land. They open their mouth wide against me. They say, aha, aha, our eyes have seen it. You have seen it, O Lord. Do not keep silent. O Lord, do not be far from me. Stir up yourself and awake to my right and to my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness, and do not let them rejoice over me. Do not let them say in their heart, aha, our desire. Do not let them say, we have swallowed him up. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who rejoice at my distress. Let those be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves over me. Let them shout for joy and rejoice, who favor my vindication. And let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall declare your righteousness and your praise all day long. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. Then we may hear and our faith will grow and will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, pour out your grace that through your word that we will have fellowship with our Lord. And through your word that we may see what our Lord has done and accomplished for us. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you. Bless us, and we pray that you will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The title tells us that it is a psalm of David. We do not know the exact historical background to this psalm. Many scholars, biblical scholars, say that David wrote this psalm as he was pursued by King Saul. But we cannot be so sure. But what is certain is that David wrote this psalm in the midst of much sufferings. David, he pleads with God to fight in his place against those who are attacking him. David asked God to destroy those who are seeking his life. David pleads with God to not let his enemies rejoice over him. This psalm is what we call an imprecatory psalm. Psalms that invoke judgment or curse upon our enemies. At the conclusion of this psalm, we will deal with how we must understand the imprecatory psalms in the New Testament time. But let's look at the psalm itself. Verses 1 through 3. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of buckler and shield and rise up for my help. Draw also the spear and the battle axe to meet those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. The word contend is a word that is used in a courtroom. David is saying, judge them. Buckler and shield, it's a hand shield, something that you use in an ancient war to protect yourself. Spear, if a buckler is for the defense, then a spear is for the offense. David pleads with God to contend with those who contend with him. David is being attacked here, and he's being pursued. And he says to God, say to my soul, I am your salvation. If we read with verses 9 and 10, which it says, and my soul shall rejoice in the Lord. It shall exult in his salvation. All my bones will say, Lord, who is like you, who delivers the afflicted from him who is too strong for him, and the afflicted and the needy from him who robs him. So our verses actually show that David has the confidence and certainty that God will answer his prayers. Let's go on to verses 4 through 8. Let those be ashamed and dishonored who seek my life. Let those be turned back and humiliated who devise evil against me. Let them be like chaff before the wind with the Lord. The angel of the Lord driving them on, let their way be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them, for without cause they hid their net for me, without cause they dug a pit for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unaware, and let the net which he hid himself, catch himself, into that very destruction let him fall. David pleads to God to destroy his enemies who are seeking his life. Language is very strong. Let them be turned back and humiliated. Let their ways be dark and slippery. Let them fall into the destruction that they devise for David. Let destruction come upon them unaware. And David asked that the angel of the Lord himself driving them to destruction. He continues, verses 11 to 16, malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I do not know. They repay me evil for good to the bereavement of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul and fasting with fasting. And my prayer kept returning to my bosom. I went about as though it were my friend or brother. I bow down, mourning as one who sorrows for a mother. But at my stumbling, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. The smiters whom I did not know gathered together against me. They slandered me without ceasing. Like godless jesters at a feast, they gnashed me with their teeth. He was surrounded by malicious witnesses. They speak of David's sins that David doesn't even know. They are the false witnesses. And what makes the situation worse is that these malicious witnesses are the ones that David thought were his friends. When they were sick, David prayed with fasting. David even participated in their sorrow as one who sorrows for a mother. Psalm 55, verse 12 and 14. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man of my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We had had sweet fellowship together, walked in the house of God in the throne. And yet you are rising against me. Psalm 41 verse 9, even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. David treated these people as his friends and his brothers. And yet, these people rejoice as David is suffering. They slandered David without ceasing. You might find yourself in this kind of situation. And don't be surprised. God wrote to us that these are common experience of Christians. Verses 17 and 18, Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue my soul from their ravages, my only life from the lions. I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among a mighty throne. Lord, do not let them continue in their evil ways. Rescue my soul, my only life. Then I will give you thanks in the great congregation. Verse 19 through 26. Do not let those who are wrongfully my enemies rejoice over me, nor let those who hate me without cause wink maliciously. For they do not speak peace, but they devise deceitful words against those who are quiet in the land. They open their mouth wide against me. They say, aha, aha, our eyes have seen it. You have seen it, O Lord. Do not keep silent, O Lord. Do not be far from me. Stir up yourself and awake to my right and to my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness, and do not let them rejoice over me. Do not let them say in their heart, aha, our desire. Do not let them say, we have swallowed him up. Let those be ashamed and humiliated altogether who rejoice at my distress. Let those be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves over me. David says, these people who are wrongfully my enemies, who hate me without cause. Psalm 69 verse 4, those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemies. What I did not steal, they then have to restore. I then have to restore. David says, do not let them wink maliciously. Do not let them rejoice over me. They plot with lies. Verse 21, they open their mouth wide against me. They say, aha, our eyes have seen it. they lie and false witness against David. O Lord, do not deep silent. Stir up yourself and awake to my right and to my cause. And he even says, judge me according to your righteousness. You could see David is confident of his innocence. Let them be ashamed and humiliated. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor. This shame points to the condemnation. And our psalm ends with verses 27 and 28. Let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication. And let them say continually, the Lord be magnified who delights in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall declare your righteousness and your praise all day long. Now, obviously, you cannot apply our psalm directly to your life today. First of all, as you could all see, only the righteous person is able to sing our psalm. If you're not righteous, if you're a sinner, just like everybody else, how can you even say this to God? This is why only Jesus Christ is able to sing this psalm. Just like any other psalm, this is his psalm. He quotes verse 19 in John chapter 15, verse 25, but they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without cause. It points to his sufferings. So many have hated, and so many even today hate Jesus Christ without cause. So many have attacked, and so many even today attack Jesus Christ and his teaching. So many false witnesses. And many false witnesses rose up against Jesus Christ. Matthew 26, verse 59 through 68. Now the chief priest and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. They did not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward. But later on, two came forward and said, this man stated, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. The high priest stood up and said to him, do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the cloud of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robes and said, he has blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you have now heard of blasphemy. What do you think? They answer, he deserves death. Then they spat at his face and beat him and with their fists. And others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is the one who hit you? Jesus has no sin. All that he has said was true. And yet these people said that Jesus deserved to die. Jesus is truly righteous. But his plea to God, do not let them rejoice over me. Let those be ashamed and humiliated altogether who rejoice at my distress. Let those be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves over me. God did not grant. Rather,
Jesus was clothed with shame and dishonor on the cross. He died on the cross for he was bearing our sins. But you and I know he was and he is righteous. Thus his plea will be realized. Not at his first coming, but at his second coming. This is the pattern. We are living out the life, the very life of Jesus Christ. And all our plea to God to destroy our enemies, that's not going to be answered until his second coming. When he comes back, all of his enemies will be completely destroyed. But until that day, it is a day of gospel. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Matthew chapter 5, verse 39 through 42, "You have heard that it is said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you." You got to understand what period that we are living in. If this is time of his second coming, then we are called to hate our enemies. When forever we're going to be in heaven, of course we're not going to love our enemies who are in forever in hell. But see, until that day, God calls us to love even our enemies. So you cannot use some of these Old Testament passages. You cannot apply that directly to you today. Because many passages in the Old Testament points to his second coming rather than the first coming. But if you're speaking of spiritual matter, then it also points to the first coming. But visibly speaking, those verses belong to his second coming. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 to 10. "Therefore we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and affliction which you endure." This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven and his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing our retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day, and to be marveled at among all those who believe, for our testimony to you was believed. So we have to understand God's will. This is time of gospel. And whatever that we do, we have to do it in terms of what we are called to do, which is to spread the gospel. So you have to do things that will profit, that will be good for spreading the gospel. And loving others, even our enemies. When it comes to spreading the gospel, it is required. How can you spread the gospel hating that person? But what is our calling today, right now? Do you realize your life in these terms? That your whole life is all about spreading the gospel today? All judgment is coming. But judgment is for God. He will judge. Until that judgment, our call is to love so that we may spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, this psalm is our psalm in Christ when He comes back. Oh yes, we'll rejoice as we see the destruction of our enemies. Because when Jesus comes, it's over. And that enemy that you will see when He comes back will be your enemy forever. But not today. My enemy today, he might be my brother tomorrow. If God pours out His grace upon that enemy, he will believe in Jesus Christ and will be my brother tomorrow. Only time we could hate our enemy is when Jesus comes back and forever in heaven. And we need to understand this. So we have to properly understand the Old Testament. Otherwise, man, in the name of Christ, they do all kinds of wrong things. And they will tell you, well, it's in the Bible. Yeah, it's in the Bible, but they are not understanding correctly. Until Jesus returns, it is common grace period. Common grace. It's not only for Christians, but also for non-Christians. So this is the time to spread the gospel. When Jesus comes again, the common grace will be over. There will be no more common grace. When Jesus comes back, it's going to be heaven and it's going to be hell. There's no common grace. But until that day, common grace continues. And why? So that His gospel can be spread. So that the last one that God has chosen will be saved. And that last one is saved, then there is no need for common grace. Only reason that this earth continues and common grace continues is so that God's plan will be fulfilled. That's what this whole history is all about. And I wish I could talk about what is history. You know, so many people have all kinds of meaning to history. And they will learn about, you know, American history, European history, and they will tell you all kinds of meaning. You know, expecting you to think those meaning as something special. The only purpose of history is so that God's will be done. That everyone that God has chosen will be saved. That's why history continues. As soon as that is over, there's no need for history. That's why He will come back. And the whole universe will be destroyed. You got to understand what everything is all about. Man, I think we put some dumb meaning and dumb explanation to a lot of things that goes on. Don't listen to the world. Because it's all going to be destroyed. No one will remember what happened in 2020 when we live in heaven. It will not even come to our remembrance, God says. Because it's not important. So do not put all kinds of meaning to what happens in your life. Unless it is in terms of Jesus Christ and spreading His gospel. Anything other than that has no lasting meaning whatsoever. Do you understand? Of course the world will not like this kind of message. Because they have to find some meaning. Otherwise they feel they're nothing. So they do this to one another so they could feel good about themselves. But only true meaning is Jesus Christ. And I'm happy with that. I don't need any other meaning. Actually, I don't want any other meaning. It's Jesus Christ. And I will do everything possible I will act in a certain way. I will say a certain way if that improves the spreading of the gospel. Of course, at the end, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Even if I do everything perfect, if the Holy Spirit doesn't work, it's not going to work. But as far as I'm concerned, I need to do my best. Only for the gospel of Christ we are called to love our enemies. You know, if the reason is not Jesus Christ, it's not Christian reason. You know, the world might say, oh, love your enemy, because it's some good thing to do. And it will have nothing to do with Christ. It might be something to do with your good quality. But it has nothing to do with Christ. That's not Christian. That's not why we do anything. It's only because of Christ we do anything. And we love our enemies because of Christ and His gospel. For today, our enemies are our neighbors. The story of Good Samaritan clearly witnesses to that fact. The gospel requires us to love our enemies today. We were God's enemies, but God loved us. Even though we were His enemies, He died for us. While we are His enemies, He died for us. That is what the cross witnesses among many things. When you look at the cross, what do you see? God loving His enemies. That's what cross says. Until Jesus return, our life is all about loving our enemies. It is all about spreading the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will sing our psalm, joining our Lord Jesus when He returns. But until that day, we must live out the gospel. Understand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for the work of the Holy Spirit with Your Word in our lives. That You cause us to understand Your Word, to know Your will through Your Word. Oh Father, we pray that You will continually working in us so that we may know Your will. That we may know Your Word. That we may do all things according to Your will that You have revealed in Your Word. Bless us with the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.